I don't understand. Like the bag that's in the hotel?
The hair dryer, yeah, is in like a drawstring bag. And I've forgotten a purse and I wanted to go shopping and do a bunch of stuff. So I didn't want to carry around a wallet and my umbrella and my room key. Right. And,
yeah. They look at you weird when you're walking out with it? Or do you not let them see it?
No, I think they'd probably look at me weird if they saw it. Because it's all embroidered. It says hair dryer on
the side. Just turn it around so the hair dryer part is like facing you. There you go. So it doesn't say hair dryer on the outside. It just looks like a black drawstring bag.
Exactly.
Interesting tip that I had no use for.
Not you, but other people may.
Okay. Yeah, no,
hey, it might come in handy for me one day.
All standby passengers, see me at the podium. Your seat is empty.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel and things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Monique.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Tyler.
And we're back.
So we have a guest a little later, but something happened. You guys did something kind of cool recently, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
So I was working and they'd put me on an international arrival. So I didn't think I was going to be able to work London that day because I'd kind of been texting Laura and she was leaving. And so I was like, I hope I get to work London. Then they put me on this flight and I thought, I'm not going to be able to see Laura today. What a bummer. And then next thing I know, they popped London on my line, and I was like, yay.
It was fun.
Did he ask you to do that?
Yeah, he did.
So he wanted you to be on his final
flight. So about right before our bids came out, he sent a text out. It was like it wasn't just to me, but it was just to people he picked, flight attendants. He goes, this is my last flight. I would like you to be a part of it. When you bid, this is the flight and the date.
Is he part of your swingers group, or how do you know him? Just a friend?
No, he's from America West, so I've known him forever.
Oh, that is, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know he'd asked you to watch that flight.
Yeah, fun fact is his brother is also a captain for our airline. They both started at AmeriQuest and they went to grade school with Dave, my husband.
Oh, that is isn't cool.
Funny?
Did they work the flight too?
No, he did not.
Was he not invited?
No, he was not invited. He didn't invite any boys.
How early did he tell you so that you could know to bid it?
Couple months.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they turn 65 and they're not allowed to fly. So the airline tries to get them on their final flight 1 or 2 days before they turn 65. Because you don't want to get them over there and then have a mechanical or something happen. And now they can't fly the flight back because they're 65. Because they turn into a pumpkin. You have to put them in
business coming back.
But I feel like it's becoming fairly common to see these retirement things. Like, I think there's been at least 3 or 4 on the London flight in the last year or so.
Well, it was really fun. One poor girl, she was pretty junior, and she and he have been friends for a long time.
Like romantically?
No. Anyway, she paid $500 for one of the girls to trade with her.
Wow.
The girl said, no, I want $500. And she's not an America West girl. She's a US Airways girl. So she got $500 so that Gwen could work the flight.
Wow.
But it was very cute. The flight attendants were very eager to get on early so they could decorate it. And the problem is they can't go on until that plane is cleared from customs and like set to go.
And swept.
Yeah. It has to have like security. Customs has to clear. Like it has to be good before crew can step on. But crew was like so excited.
How do you decorate when he just stays in the cockpit? Like how do you decorate?
Oh, we had big signs that said like when he first walked on, it said happy retirement. And we had little
hanging
things,
okay. Festive said, kind of things. Yeah.
Congratulations.
And then you guys had got him a crown.
Well, yeah, we got him a crown. And Gwen did.
Like a special like book or whatever that they had sent me down on a special mission to go put that in his seat so he would find that when he boarded.
Oh, nice.
It was nice. It made him kind of teary. And he said, you guys keep playing this game. And we're like, what game? He's like, made the captain cry.
Oh.
Yeah. Very emotional.
Yeah, he was very sweet. So, and that's they were up top taking some photos and stuff, and he even grabbed me in for one. So I was like, okay, cool.
I have a cute picture of you too. Yeah.
So, what did you do in London? Was it anything different, or was it just?
Yeah, it was very different. There were 30 of us to celebrate his dinner that night at his dinner.
So people flew to be on that flight that weren't working yet.
Yeah, well, a lot of AmeriQuest pilots are now you know, work for our airline, and but they're based in other cities. Okay. So they all flew. They all picked a London flight.
They all were there. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And there's some retired pilots.
That's cool.
Yeah, was it cool? And there was some retired pilots that non-revved over. So they met us there. They were already there.
You could see the impact then that he had, that yeah. many people were willing and wanting to kind of change their schedule or make sure things worked out to be there for him. That's cool.
There were 30 of us at dinner.
I bet I would have at least two people show up if I did it. If I retired.
And they are right here.
Well, it was kind of sad because it was kind of great. When we landed, we had told the hotel about it. And they were out there waiting for us when our bus pulled up. And they grabbed all his luggage for him. They wouldn't let him touch his luggage.
Aww.
He and his wife. And his wife was on board. And they gave her a positive space pass. And so then there's which I didn't know about, but there's like a lounge at our hotel in London. And they showed him where the lounge is and said he can come in whenever he wants. And then they gave him the Jimi Hendrix suite.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. So he had a suite. It was really nice. They really took really good care of him.
Good. That's yeah. awesome.
And so then we got in and then we met downstairs and we all walked over to a pub and we met some more pilots at the pub. And then we walked over to this another pub called The Heron. And they have Thai food there and we all had dinner. Mm. There were some speeches. It was just fun.
Well, that's what I saw when you guys left. It seemed like even the London gate agents or people made kind of a big deal of it as well. Like I think there was a cake or something as well. So
yeah,
that's cool. They got into it and helped out.
It was fun. And we had a cake for him in his suite after dinner. We had cake there. And then the next morning, we go down to Ops in London. And if you're checking your bag, you actually walk into Ops. And so there were a few of us. And Dale had to check his bag because his wife had gone shopping and bought a bunch of stuff. And so I was helping him check his bag because he had never checked his bag. So we were down in Ops. And we walk in there. And they have all these balloons set Aww. Up for him. And they have a huge, 30-pound cake. It was huge square. And it had, four layers. It was all, strawberry and stuff, and it said congratulations Captain Churchill. And then they took us out to the airplane and ops, we all got pictures of the whole crew underneath the airplane, and then the ops guys were there. And then coming back after we loaded and we left, and I want to tell a little story about that too, all the ops guys lined up on the tarmac and saluted the plane. It was really pretty cool.
That is cool.
As we went by, so nice. It was kind of emotional. So big fights up at the gate over who's getting on the plane, because we show up and it looked like everybody was going to get on, no problem.
What do you mean? Like who's fighting to get on?
Okay. All the non-revs.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
The people that are his friends that want to come
home?
Yeah,
his friends. Okay. Yeah. His friends. And a couple of those pilots were no longer pilots for us. They were retirees. So they couldn't fly in the flight deck.
Yeah.
So his brother took the flight deck jump seat. Now there's only one jump seat, remember, because there's three pilots up there already. So now there's only one open jump seat. So his brother took the jump seat. And then there was this whole thing. And so then the captain told the gate, I'm going to put my wife in 1A, which is his rest seat.
It's his seat. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so then that turned into this big whole thing. Well, then that opened up this other seat and they were kind of mad about it. Because I think it involved more work for them. They had to unblock the seat and all that. And they ended up skipping over one of our D1s and put a D2 on. One of his pilot friends. We left a couple people there. It was kind of sad. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, it looked like everybody was going to get on. It was not a big deal. And we show up at the gate and there's 6 federal air marshals.
They always mess things up.
And there goes 6 seats.
With guns.
Yeah. And good seats.
Good seats.
You're not all in the back.
No.
They're taking good, valuable seats.
Yeah. So
put them in that back row, the very back row, 4 across. Take your.
Those are my seats. Those are our flight attendant seats. But yeah. So then we immediately know. Yeah. It's going to be a fight at the gate because now we've got 6 air marshals that are going to take seats.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why we left people. And then we got into Phoenix and
water cannon salute.
No, they don't friendliest do that any longer.
Airport
because
in the
Phoenix is the friendliest airport, except for pilots, because we're also it's a desert, and that's a waste of water. That's the newest thing.
I don't think it's a waste. I think it's cool.
I do too. And I feel bad he didn't get it. And then he had told me the night before. He leaned over. He goes, "Guess what I'm going to do tomorrow?" I go, "What?" And he goes, "I'm going to do go round." I go, "You're going to do a go round?" He goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Okay, I got a $10 bill right here. It's crisp and ready to go. You do a go round, Dale. And I will give you this $10 bill." So
he didn't do it.
No, he didn't do it. Dang it! And I had that when I walked out. I said, "Hey, just so you know, I'm keeping that 10.
Isn't that the thing on Top Gun?
You get the buzz.
Is that
the
what
tower.
He does? Yeah. Buzz the tower. Yeah,
buzz the tower. That's what he was going to do. But you know, it does scare passengers when you do go around. So
well, probably because they're like, "What the heck? We should be landing. Why aren't we landing?"
There's so many reasons to do it. Yeah, but.
And then we got up to Dunkin' Donuts, and when we went through customs, Dunkin' Donuts is at the end. Is when you first get out of customs, and they had there were at least 100 people up there waiting for him, and they had more cake. The company had bought cake for him.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So the go around would have been cool. So, Mr. Churchill, you missed your chance.
Yeah.
D2R.
Well, do you think the people in London took such good care of him because of his last name?
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that. You're right.
Yeah, they were like,
because he's a Churchill.
He's kind of like royalty here.
All right. So this week we have Chrissy with us. She's the flight attendant that came in. So
from another airline, not our airline.
And Monique is going to step out because she was gone when we recorded with her. So.
Bye.
You have to listen to this one.
I like the way she just yells, bye.
All right. So this week we have a friend of the show, Chrissy, with us. She was a former gate agent turned flight attendant. She's a future influencer for airline. And yes. She's also working on her pilot's license. Is that correct?
I am.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hi, guys.
Hi, Chrissy. Thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
We wanted to have you on for a while, and you happen to have an overnight in Phoenix.
I did.
So you're based right now in Cleveland.
I am.
So it seems crazy there would be an overnight in Phoenix.
I know. It's my first overnight here, and I would have expected to get it out of Denver when I was there, but it was just on my line this month, and it worked out.
We're lucky.
Yeah.
We're better off for it.
I saw the layover on my line. Like, the first thing I did was message y'all and be like, guys, I'm coming to Phoenix.
It worked out great because I was off.
Right.
Tyler's off, but Monique is out of town.
Yeah, she's out of town. So.
So if you don't hear Monique's voice, that's where she is.
Let's go back to the beginning. You're into aviation. Why did you join the airline? What was your like desire to do that? Was it just a job or?
So my cousin is a captain, and she's been an airline captain for a while. I grew up watching her and all her adventures and everything. It looked like so much fun, but I looked at the cost of flight school once I got old enough to when I was graduating high school, and I was like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. And then the end of 2021, I saw American Airlines was hiring. And so I was like, let me apply just for fun. My stepdad loved traveling. My mom liked traveling. So I was like, let me take them on adventures. We can go on all these fun family vacations. And it didn't work out with American, but I became a gate agent for them. And now I'm with a different mainline, and it's a dream.
That's so cool. So you were a gate agent for mm-hmm. American, and then you applied to be a flight attendant at all the other airlines?
I just at my current airline. Let me just try to get my foot back in the water, see if it's going to work out this time.
Yeah, well, they're lucky. They're lucky to have you.
So didn't you have a time when you were started to be flight attendant for America transfer? And then so what happened there?
So I got sick in week 5 of training and I went home, and I was going to go back, but it just didn't feel right. I was trying to do college at the same time, and throughout the training, I realized that I cannot sit reserve. I was going to be LaGuardia-based. So like, I cannot sit reserve in LaGuardia, go to UNC Wilmington, and like try to balance this both. So I was like, I got the job for Piedmont at ILM. And I was like, let me just do this, get my college classes done. And then I actually dropped out of college yet again to be a flight attendant for my current airline. So.
Okay, so you were 5 weeks in and you like got sick and said, okay.
It was literally like 4 days before graduation.
Oh, man.
It was, yeah, I was like, I made it through.
Well, don't worry, because like I did that too. I didn't finish my college before I started flying. And then I went back. And now you can do it, you know, remotely. And
right.
It's very easy to do. And I just did one class at a time until I finished.
Right.
So then you still wanted to be a flight attendant though. And you got with your, so tell us about the process of like, how was training? What was it? So I was just thinking.
Especially now you can compare the two.
Right.
Compare and contrast.
Yeah, on the drive over here, I was thinking, so I was hired 16 years ago and I was so bored. I know this is very different, but my 3 weeks of training was so bored, and I didn't know anything about the airline, but it was just still boring. And I think if I was to go to another airline now and go through training, I would be so bored. Like just sitting here listening to like, here's how you hang, like, set of planes, and kind of was it hard or boring, or how was the process?
Honestly, training was
a breeze the second time. I mean, it was still stressful just because it's so much information crammed into such a like short period of time. But it was so easy the second time. I was class valedictorian.
Yeah. There you go.
But that's the achievement I'm hanging on to. But no, it was – I had a good experience in training at my current airline. I feel like it was – a lot more unorganized compared to Americans, but it had more of a welcoming and like family feeling in my current airlines training than it did. Like American was very, I feel like the way they spoke was if you make it to graduation, if you get your wings, if you're on the line, whereas at my current airline, it was always when you graduate, when you have your wings, like when I see you flying with me.
Interesting.
I had a good experience. I liked it. I'm in my phone's going off constantly from a big group chat I'm in with all my classmates right now. So
I love that. Okay. So was the timing the same? Was it the same amount of time?
Yeah. I think my current airlines was, I think it was like a week longer. It was 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I want to say Americans was only like 6 or 6.5.
Okay.
Were you a trainer for flight attendants?
I was.
Were you mean or were you like
no,
positive?
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
She was probably the worst one there.
If you can get past my class.
Yeah, no. And I was a trainer, but I didn't do flight attendants. I trained airport services.
Okay.
And I opened new cities. That was fun.
But weren't you always a flight attendant?
No, because when we first started, we were everything.
Oh, you did everything. Okay.
Yeah, we did everything. And that's when I segued into just the airport training. And I taught customer service.
So she would work the ramp and then go fly the plane.
We were cross-utilized. So we worked in reservations. We worked the ramp. We worked the ticket counter. We worked lost and found.
Can you imagine
operations.
If a flight attendant smelled like me, like coming off the ramp and then like serving?
Yeah, we go through this all the time, Tyler. You do not smell.
Monique doesn't.
I have never smelled like him. That's not true.
That's why she used me over here.
Well, that's cool. So now how long have you been a flight attendant?
A little bit over a year. It's been a year and like 2 months.
Oh, I love that.
I'm a baby.
Yeah, I love that.
And she actually sees places, unlike you. Well, what? You go to London and Honolulu.
You're right. I'm pretty pig.
And this morning she was in Maine and now she's in Phoenix.
But Portland, Maine.
Portland,
Maine. Yeah. Okay. So then you were on your way here and what happened?
So I went Portland to Newark here. Uh-huh. And it wasn't even like 30 minutes after takeoff. We had a medical. And
who was in charge?
Not me. I was Ford Kelly.
Lucky you.
I was I was the runner. I was grabbing water and everything and kind of relaying information while our lead was just hanging out. He was back and forth as well. We'd take turns watching over first class and like maintaining that cabin. But so it was somebody was like ringing the call bell, you know, 4, 5, 6 times. And so we're like, okay, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And
when you hear multiple ones, you panic.
Right. And
because you usually avoid the first three, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Look, she's only been there a year. She already knows.
You just peek your head around the corner. You're like, is it that important? The aft flight attendants just brought out the carts to start the economy service. And so they like real quick rushed them up to the front and got them out of the way and everything. I guess from what I heard, the lady was feeling very nauseous and then she lost consciousness and I didn't see it, but one of the other flight attendants says it looks like she threw up on herself a little bit, like her shirt was wet and everything.
Poor thing.
But she just, we had an ICU nurse on board, thankfully. Oh. The nurse was talking to her and everything. She was doing a lot better. When I saw her when she was deplaning and she said she was feeling a whole lot better. Like, I don't know what happened, but she's perfectly fine. Thank God.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But
did you have emergency services waiting for her when she deplaned?
No, we contacted our medical services and they said that they didn't think, from the sounds of it, they didn't see a reason for anybody like EMS or anybody to meet her.
Yeah, so I just wondered.
Yeah. So she was doing good by the time we landed. I think she just needed to sleep it off and everything. And she was traveling with her husband or somebody too. So
that's helpful.
Yeah, she had somebody with her.
But do you guys use MedLink also?
Yeah.
Yeah. We all use MedLink.
The good thing about your airline, our lane, is there's a higher chance of a nurse like that. Mm-hmm. Like I was on Spirit the other day and there was a guy behind
me. I'm so sorry for you.
I love Spirit.
I love people.
I know you do.
I'm on them all the time.
I know you do.
There was a row back or two rows back, there was a chiropractor and it reminded me of that video, the the comedian saying there's no doctors on Samirid, but and I should tell you this, come back from London, so this is going to be a few weeks back, but my wife, remember, she got up
and she is a nurse,
she got up in business, and so, and then coming back from London, they had someone ring the bell, and because someone was having heart issues, and so she, because she's a nurse, so she went and helped them. And when we landed hours later, she still was like, her adrenaline was rushing. She said she like kicked back into that nurse thing. So I didn't tell it when I recorded because I forgot.
Well, we really appreciate when people step forward, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I guess some doctors came in later and the flight attendants were like, usually nurses are more helpful than doctors anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they have more like hands-on with patients. Mm-hmm. At work, whereas the doctors kind of come in, they're like, all right, so this is the rundown. All right, I'm going to prescribe you this, and this is what you're going to do, and that's it.
Exactly.
That's why you pay them the big bucks.
We were close to not having this recording, though, because if you would have diverted to
if she wherever, diverted, we might be recording right now.
Yeah. It's terrible. That was like my first thought. I was like, it's always when you make plans for the layover.
Isn't that true?
I
say that all the time. It's because I plan to go see my daughter in Richmond if this flight is canceling. Okay, so what are your goals? You have some goals in the industry.
No, so I'm doing this career because it's fun. I'm young and I want to travel while I'm young. And I want to figure out what I want to do long term. Honestly, my heart is in teaching. But before, I really want to be a teacher. But I also, at this point, I was going to school for pre-law. And I was a legal office assistant before I started flying and everything. So I would like to get back into the legal industry. I've thought about trying to go, I think in the spring I'm going to do my like actual paralegal certificate and everything so I can get a remote paralegal job for possibly my old law firm. I've thought about going to the legal department for my current airline if a position opens up. Yeah, that would be a dream. But I don't really know. I want to be in the legal field. I want to be a teacher. I want to keep flying. So I really want to keep flying for the flight benefits. But
yeah.
So what is the, because you're working on your pilot's license. What is that for?
That's just kind of, that's what I wanted to do in the first place. And like I said earlier, I wanted to go to flight school. And then I saw that, you know, $120,000 ATP tuition cost. And I was like, oh, count me out for that one. But I met a friend on a layover in Nashville, and I made some connections through him, one of which he's the chief instructor. I think he's the chief instructor at his flight school, and I became friends with him. So now he's my flight instructor, and I've been taking lessons with him out and I just pay per lesson. So it's kind of like as I can afford to do it. It's not, I don't have to commit to some giant tuition. So I'm at least getting my private license just to say I did it and everything. Yeah. And I can go on my own adventures and all that. But I don't know if it's – I think it would be fun to do as a career and, like, take it all the way to the airlines. But also, having worked for an airline now, I love my job more than anything. But at the same time, I don't know if I would want to be in that little clown car up front.
Okay, so you and I – yeah, I look at those guys. I'm like, okay, thank goodness we have them.
Right.
But that's not me.
Right.
Yeah. No.
I have to figure out which path I want to go down. I keep like refreshing the internal job listings page on our employee website to see if like any instructor positions open up, because I think it's only a year in you can be a CQ instructor. It's 1 or 2 years in to be a CQ instructor, and then it's, I want to say, 3 years in to be an initial instructor. So I want to try to do one of those and maybe see if I want to keep teaching, like do that. That way I have like the best of both worlds. And
yeah.
I don't know.
I would encourage
that. I've got options.
I would encourage that.
Yeah.
Initial training is so fun.
Yeah. I knew from my experience with American, like when I was in training, I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to be them. But I think I want to do it here too. It seems a lot more relaxed for the most part at my current airline.
Oh, wow.
But the problem is you have to deal with flight attendants every day.
But you're shaping them into how to be a flight attendant too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mentoring them.
Exactly.
But so your pilot's license, it's just like an expensive hobby right now.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. You're going to get your PPL.
Yeah, I'm planning that's on your goal. It's probably going to take me a little bit longer than most people since I'm on year 2 pay now, actually. But
how many hours does that to get the personal license? The
PPL.
I think it's a minimum of, I'm doing part 121, so I think I want to say it's a minimum of 50.
Okay.
But and then you have to hit like all these requirements.
yeah,
within it. And it's been a minute since I've flown, so I'll probably be over 50 when I get mine. But I'm hoping
not. It doesn't matter about the hours as long as you get it.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Drew from Next Trip, he was giving me a hard time because my passport issue that I had.
Okay.
And Lara was standing up for me. You were very protective of me.
Yes, I was.
And so when I was out there in DC with him, I needed a way to get back at him. And so I posted a poll on our Instagram. This has been a while ago now.
Oh my goodness.
You know which one.
I know what's coming.
Saying that their podcast supports touching flight attendants to get their attention. And we do not. And what do people think? And there was a few people that were on their side, but so I just thought, what are some of your pet peeves as flight attendants from both of you?
Okay, start. First of all, do you think it's okay for them to touch you?
I would rather not.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand if it's like an older woman, she's like, you know, touching your arm, like as you're walking by to try to get your attention because you can see her. But people that are like poking you like, hey, you're skipping my row. No, we're pushing the cart. I'm going to come right back. I promise you. But when grown men order apple juice on a flight.
That's me.
No, I'm just saying that specifically because of you.
She's teasing you.
I know. She knows I like it. But I heard that you told us that there's some destinations that go through apple juice really fast.
Uh-huh. And there's some that do, like all the Mexico flights.
Yeah.
Apple juice goes.
Really?
Very quickly.
I feel like a lot of California flights, like San Fran, I feel like we usually go through it.
Well, then that's, and they also like, oye no hay. Oye no hay. That means orange juice, no ice.
Oh.
What would you like to drink? Oye no hay. That's probably racial. Yeah. Don't cut that out. It's the truth.
Yeah.
So I think from like my pet peeves.
Flight attendants asleep in the seats.
Yeah, there's so many. No, I think it is when you make their drink and you hand it to them and they say, oh, I don't want ice. Does that bug you? Like that bugs me? After you make their drink and you're passing it to them and they don't tell you.
Do you dig it out with your fingers? Do you
actually say? Oh, wouldn't that be funny? I'm going to do it next week.
Oh my goodness. No, you're going to end up on TikTok. Someone's going to take a video of you doing that. I don't know. I mean,
does not bug you. That's what I'm hearing.
Not too much.
It's okay.
So for the most part, we usually just hand out like the full can. And then if they want ice, it's just a cup of ice with it. So if they say, oh, I didn't want ice, I'll just dump out the ice and hand the cup right back.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So it kind of works out. They're really the only thing that we pour, unless somebody specifically requests just a cup of that drink. It's just orange juice and water is really the only things we pour. And then obviously coffee and tea. But
yeah. And does it bug you when people say coffee and then you have to say cream and sugar?
Or when people say black coffee and then I hand it to them, they're like, oh, but I wanted cream and sugar with it. Or I wanted, you know, this many. I'm like, you said black coffee. I gave you black coffee.
Yeah, that's what you asked for.
I'm like, if you want cream and sugar, you say you want a coffee with cream and sugar. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
But I usually... I find it really fun. Whenever I ask if they want cream and sugar, I'll be like, sometimes they'll just say cream and not tell me how many. So I'm like 1, 2, 18. And they always get a good laugh out of it. They're like, oh my goodness, 18. I'm like, obviously you've never seen me in the Dunkin' Donuts line.
She's just like me to immediately vamp to 18.
Something crazy. Yeah. I try to change the number up each time.
Last night, I was on a flight, and I was messaging you because we're trying to set up what we're going to talk about. And I was in a pod.
Okay, this is just flexing, just so you know, it's flexing.
I have to set up the situation.
Sure. Okay, we're listening.
Because it's different if I was in the back.
Okay, so he's in a pod.
And a lady had a baby in the pod.
What?
Yeah, so it's not the back. I was in like the first class.
First
type of seat, yes.
Again,
and
tell us what happened.
I looked at me to see if it was the non-ref because I was like, they let a non-ref because there was a lot of us non-refs there, but it wasn't. And I was like, this is going to be interesting because I have kids and they're not quiet. But when I sent that to you, you said, oh, I've got a baby story in first class. So what was your story?
So I can't remember. It might have been like Denver to Fresno or something. It was a flight later in the evening. There was a couple in row 3 with. It was them and their maybe like 2-year-old son. And then he was being kind of noisy the whole flight. He slept a little bit, but.
Was he a lap child or he had his own seat?
He was a lap child.
Okay.
Then it was like maybe halfway, 3/4 of the way through the flight, he started crying.
And a man in row one was like, after a couple minutes of it, he was like, he turned around, he's like, can you shut your child up? Yelling profanities at them and everything. And it,
I don't know what I would do.
I didn't know either. So I was working lead on that flight. I was scheduled as forward galley, but I was working with my friend. He was working lead. And he kept like criticizing how I was doing forward galley on the previous leg. So like kind of messing with me, but I was like, all right, you know what? We'll switch. You'll show me. And of course that's the leg that I switched to lead. So I was like, I don't know what to do. And like, I tried to like de-escalate it, and sure, the man was just very upset. Like, he wasn't listening to me. And so finally, like, my friend had to step in, and because he was like, maybe he'll listen to a man. Yeah. So he stepped in, like, he could be a little bit louder than I could to kind of talk over this man and calm him down. He was like, the guy that was yelling at them, his wife was irritated too, but she wasn't really yelling at them. But the man in row one that was yelling, like, stood up and everything. And so did the dad. And they were like, I was convinced a fist fight was about to break out in my first class. I was I don't know what I'm going to do if this happens. Like, we had one of the flight attendants in the back, like, ran up front. She was on the phone the entire time with the flight deck.
She could hear it. She could hear it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was, oh my goodness, it was crazy. Finally, it de-escalated, but there were reports filed and everything, obviously, with like all the passengers' names. And the wife was pregnant too. Ugh. And so like all that stress on her, like I can't imagine.
And that just makes, like, and the baby feels all that tension.
Right. So crying harder too, yeah, when they both were yelling. Because obviously he's watching his dad scream at this other man on an airplane, which is already a stressful situation for him. So. Yep. Oh. Yeah, it was just making things so much worse.
Oh, it's crazy.
So the baby on my flight didn't make a single sound the whole 6 hours. So my story is kind of anticlimactic after that.
Wait, she had a baby.
She had a baby. Yeah, the lady had a baby. She had and across from the aisle it was her mom. So they would trade off to hold. But I didn't hear the baby the whole time. Like, I made more noise than the baby did.
Is it just me or did? I thought you meant she had a baby like in the cabin, like she was pregnant when she got on and she had a baby when she got off.
No, she was.
Oh, did you feel that too, no. Chrissy?
Well, he also sent me a picture of like the cabin yesterday. So
Yeah, she was just, but still like idea. She was holding a baby.
In first class.
Yeah, that could, and so I wrote my wife and I just sent the picture to her of the whole baby. And she goes, if I said we had the money, we'd have the baby with the back of the nanny. She wouldn't be. Exactly. Because our friend Greg wants, they just had their baby in England, and he wants to do a trip before they're two. Well, it's free. And I was like, but he wants to do business class coming. I'm like, it's a long flight. Like, enjoy it, but do what you're going
to
do. But
hire somebody to take care of your kid in economy where it's fine if your kid cries.
Exactly. I've had three or four people with nannies in the back with the kids.
It's not even like the crying. I mean, that's with the headphones, you probably wouldn't hear anything anyways. Yeah. It's more just like, when I'm in that pod, I want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And if you pay $9,000, because that's how much our pods are from Phoenix to London.
Yeah.
$9,000. It's like, you do not want a baby right there.
Yeah. You want to enjoy that time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't want a baby with me anytime.
And you have a baby.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, that's crazy. Luckily, they didn't fight. Like, yeah, actual good. Hit each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that... If somebody would have swung on the other one, I don't know what would happen.
What would you have done?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do they talk about that in your trainings that you do?
They uh-huh. do.
Because uh-huh. you talked about well, the handcuffs.
So we probably would have diverted to whatever the nearest airport would be yeah. just to get one or both of them off.
And see, I think they should take both off.
They probably would have taken both mm-hmm. off, yeah. But I mean, yeah, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I would have gotten into the middle of it just because my crew member was already kind of like handling it.
Since which is nice.
He could be louder than me and everything. And I feel like men that are fighting are more inclined to listen to another man than listen to this girl that's wearing high heels. Yeah. High heels and red lipstick. Yeah. And they're like, all right, whatever.
Stop.
I'm like, please, pretty please.
I'm asking you nicely.
Exactly.
I do have some advice. I have advice for people that are looking to become flight attendants. My advice is to not apply just at one airline. My advice is to just go across the board and apply.
If it's something that you really want to do, like you're dead set on you want to be a flight attendant, then yeah, absolutely. I kind of did it because I don't know what I want to do as like a long-term career. And at the time, I knew
what I was doing in college wasn't it. So I was like, let me just, I won't be mad if I don't get it, but it would also be kind of cool if I got it, you know?
So you just threw one. That's why you only did one.
Yeah. So I kind of, I mean, when I first applied to American, it was kind of, honestly, it was kind of a joke. Like I was with my friends. I'm pretty sure we were hanging out, like having just a girls night. And I was like, hey guys, I saw a post on, I think, Facebook that American was hiring. And I was like, hey guys, American Airlines is hiring. Should I be a flight attendant? And then I applied and then I made it all the way through it, like the whole process. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I didn't think I would make it this far. I didn't.
Did it go quick too?
Oh, it did. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think it was like maybe 2 months at most was like the whole, like from the date I applied to the date that I was going to training.
That's interesting. And so then when you applied at the airline you're at right now, how long was that?
I think it was about the same kind of process.
Okay, good.
Something like that.
So I want to go back to, you were hired by two airlines. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's
two main lines, that's a good point, do you feel like there's anything
that you did that helped out, that could help other people out that are in the whole process, like in your interviewing? I mean, you have a good personality, but is there anything else that you did that, because Laura, you've said to people, you told things that you think would help.
Mm-hmm. I adjusted my resume because I've had a handful of jobs and not all of them were customer facing or like customer service kind of jobs. So at the time I was a legal office assistant, which isn't really customer facing. So, but it's a lot of teamwork to make mm-hmm. everything happen.
Oh, yeah.
So, because I mean, all the attorneys are like relying on you to get everything filed and printed and put together. Any of my friends that are trying to apply to be a flight attendant, I always say highlight any and all customer service experience. Even if you don't have that much, try to make your resume as much about that as you can, because that's what they want to see. They want to see that you can work with people.
That's good advice.
Yeah, that's good.
My advice more is along lines of when you have the video interview, how what to look like, because I have many friends that are actually the ones on the other side watching you. And so they look to make sure the hair looks nice. And the lips are really important, to have the big red lips and even a scarf. Just pretend like you already have the job.
And even for the face-to-face interview, that's what I tell people, is dress like you already have the part.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And then at our airline, when they show up at headquarters for the face-to-face, at that moment, there's one person assigned to that interviewee, and they watch from the minute they walk in. They watch on the cameras.
It's interesting.
Uh-huh. And they watch them check in. They watch them go into the room with all the others, and they watch how they interact with everybody, because they don't want someone that's like aloof.
Right.
They want someone that's talking to everybody and having a good time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like on Big Brother. Like there's watching.
Exactly. That's exactly like that. Uh-huh.
Would you like the job?
I would like the job.
Like just judging people from video, just like.
No, I don't like to judge them, but I mean, I would.
Is that what they're doing, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess they are. Yeah. But I would be watching for people that are like me.
Oh. Nice, you mean?
Nice. Yeah.
Watching for smiles and mm-hmm. open body language.
Yeah. Open body language. Uh-huh.
Can defend themselves. In case a fight comes up.
That's funny. Well, I had a fight on board once, but we were on the ground and I was non-revving. And I was going up to San Francisco. My husband was a sales rep for our airline up in San Francisco. So I was going up to visit him. This is when we were dating. This guy came on and he was in an ILC. And this other guy came out and said, you're in my ILC. And he said, no, I'm not. And so they started fighting like on the ground. They were like throwing punches at each other.
Oh,
and stuff.
My goodness.
And I jumped up. I don't know where the flight attendants were. I jumped up and like, stop fighting. I didn't. I just remember being in the middle of it and thinking, this is really stupid because I could get hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and you're not working. So yeah, like you can't even claim workers' comp or anything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. It was kind of stupid. They were fist fighting over who got the ILC.
Oh my goodness.
And we had assigned seating. So it wasn't like.
Right. It wasn't mm-hmm. like. Yeah.
Southwest.
But, yeah, I wasn't sure if I could say them. I mean, I guess they're the only one with open seating, aren't they? I'm just glad I don't have a whole lot of crazy stories. My classmate was...
Not yet, sister.
Yeah, not yet. One of my classmates, there was the flight, it was the 757 from Los Angeles to Boston. The flight attendant got attacked with... It was a broken metal spoon, I think, in the aft galley. Do you remember hearing about that?
No.
It was back in like March, I think. February or March. But my classmate was the one that got attacked. The passenger was trying to open like the emergency exit or something. They were really close to Boston.
In flight.
They were like... I think maybe like they were on initial or something. Like they were close to Boston. They didn't divert or anything. Some passengers jumped in, were trying to stop him. And then the flight attendants were trying to stop it. Somehow he got to the aft galley and he pulled like this broken metal spoon out of his pocket. It might have been like a broken like first class spoon or something, or like from a restaurant.
Like a shank.
Right. And he hit the flight attendant like in the like base of the neck, like around like the shoulder or something. That's what I was reading at least, because I didn't want to like interview my classmate about it and be like, so what exactly happened?
Yeah, if he was smart, he would just write it all out and send it to all of you.
Right?
You'll know about it in CQ next year because I'll cover it.
Exactly. I'm waiting to hear. I'm sure he'll be a story.
He's okay.
He is okay. Yeah, he was out of work for a good few months. Like, it extended to his probation. It was maybe his second or third trip out of training.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah,
that poor guy.
We were brand new. Oh. Yeah, but he's still flying. He's still here.
Oh, good. Oh, I bet there was a lot of blood.
I don't know. It depends on how broken the spoon was, like how sharp it was.
So they came and they arrested that guy. He went to prison. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a federal aviation regulation. Like
offense.
It's like a felony.
Yeah.
So something that Laura's gotten better at is, no, you have gotten better at it, is I feel like when we first started this, you wouldn't leave your airline, our airline. And now you're willing to do some jump seating. You jump seated a few weeks ago, right?
Uh-huh.
But you wouldn't do that before. Because I used to always be like, just do this and this, and you get home sooner. And you're like, we're just going to go all the way back through Dallas and then come home. And
stay on my own airline.
You could have been home like 4 hours ago. But now you're willing to. But I feel like that's something that, even though you've only been a year, that's something that you, because how many flights do you know about how you've taken this year? Both for work
and non-rev flights. I can tell you how many I've taken for work, because I track all my work flights on
Flighty. Good
but
girl.
Starting the new year, I'm going to track all my non-rev flights too, okay, because I want to see really how many I'm doing.
Because
so, you were 233 flights just this year.
Wow.
Work flights?
Yeah, just work flights. That doesn't include my commute flights.
Because you commute a lot. You live in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You've been based in Denver. You've been based in now Cleveland, and your flight training is in Nashville. And you're constantly flying.
I'm constantly flying. I feel like I'm on an airplane more than I'm in my own home.
It's true.
And yeah, Harley.
It probably is.
Maybe not Harley ever, but very often on not your airline.
Correct. Yeah. It's to get to Wilmington. It's very rarely my airline because they only fly regionals there. Okay. So there's no option of mainline. And it's the regional planes that they have. They're 175s. So they don't. Most of the time, they don't have an extra jump seat. So even if it is my own metal, if it's completely full, there's nothing I can do. And then I'm stuck in Newark. So yeah. I'm like, that's the last place I want to be stuck, honestly. Yeah, so it's mostly American that I take to get home. Sometimes I'll take Southwest and I'll go into Myrtle Beach to get home.
Do you use that when you said, do you use the flight attendant commuting button?
I do, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not paying for those flights. Yeah,
good. Well, that's what I feel like. If I had that option, I would be flying different airlines all the time.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. I don't. So I think, can you talk a little bit about that, your process, and for people like maybe like Laura was, that they have that option, but they just don't use it. Like, and maybe they don't need to as much because you living different places and commuting. How do you go about it? I mean, what is your...
Is this where we have the shameless plug for Staff Traveler? Because that's a lifesaver for me for commuting. That's how I check like all my flight loads. But I mean, it's stressful sometimes. Like there was once I was trying to do flight lessons in the same day that I was commuting back to Denver. And so I went Wilmington, Charlotte, Nashville. Then I went and did a flight lesson. Then I immediately went back to BNA. Then I went to Nashville Midway, took the train over to ORD. And then I went Chicago on my metal. I went Chicago to Denver.
Wow.
It was a lot. It was a headache.
Yeah.
But because I took American to get Nashville. Then I took Southwest to get to Midway. Then obviously the train.
Yeah.
And then my metal to get to Denver. It was a headache.
That's a lot of planning.
It's a lot. Yeah. And it was kind of like, because I had a plan set in place where it was going to be like pretty much just... I had to connect no matter what to get to Nashville, but then I was planning to I had the options of my airline or Southwest to get to, or I think even Frontier maybe, to get to Denver, but I think an earlier flight canceled, and so then the other ones just all filled up, and I was like, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do now. So I was like very frantically like trying to put in, and I was out of credits on Staff Traveler too, so I was like very frantically trying to
answer
my own airline's like load requests, so I could be like, I was just... Everyone I did, I was like, all right, I can check this flight.
One for one,
back and forth. Yeah.
So you found that that's helped you. I was last night, it was when I landed in LA and I went up to the club because they were open for a bit to take a quick shower.
Flex.
I've never been to an airline club.
You never have?
Never.
No. You need, okay, we're going to broaden your horizons.
And I had my Nonnerve Lounge sweatshirt on, and I only had an hour, so I was like, I could get the shower to get back out. And one of our listeners saw the sweatshirt, and she goes, your sister said, which may have been you, because you look so young, so you made my sister.
Now he's trying to butter me up.
Well, I just don't know if Monique would talk to people. So, but she said, yes, your sister talked to me about it. So I've been listening, and then all the ladies there were asking about it. And I gave them our card, our business card, and I gave them the staff travel card. And they were like, why would I need this? So I was like, yeah, well.
You do need it.
I said, there's so many times when like these people wouldn't be commuting because they're in the club. But just kind of explaining all the things I showed them how to work. And I think that you probably go through a lot. As often as you commute, you probably use that constantly.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, I'll use it a lot for a couple of days when I'm traveling, and then I won't travel for a few weeks, and then I'll just some backups and stuff. But as much as you do travel.
I don't think I've ever had my account balance for like credits at more than like, because I'm not going to pay for credits. I don't think they've ever been more than like 20 at a time.
Because you use it so much.
And then I go through them all like immediately.
Yeah. But doing that probably gives you so much, like you could find that weird route, that crazy route, know, if you can
those get those little to, like safe havens.
To get to your, where before you're just kind of like throwing a dart out there trying to figure out. But if you didn't know, oh wait, there are seats on this flight and this flight.
Before I downloaded Staff Traveler, I was like texting my old friends from like when I was a gate agent, and I was like, Gabby, can you check this flight for me? Taylor, can you check this flight for me? I'm like, can you guys please send me flight loads? I'm like, I need to figure out how I'm getting back to base or how I'm getting home.
Yeah. So if you have friends at all those airlines, it's okay. I mean, it's good, but it's still like, I feel like you have friends at every airline now with Staff Traveler. Right. You have that hopefully quick, able to get back those loads so fast to make those decisions.
I think every airline is quick except for Delta. I've had it go like days without Delta like updating their flight loads. It's very weird.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get theirs. There's some internationals, the two that are growing. British Airways is kind of hard. You have to fly British Airways to.
I haven't, since I've been working for airlines, I still have never like non-revved out of the country. I'm going for the first time in February.
Oh, good. Where are you going?
Manchester.
Yes.
Yeah, I have tickets to a concert for the 1975 in Manchester. I'm so excited.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your passport's good?
Yes, it is. It is. It's good until 2027.
Should we talk about pay for boarding, or is it too sensitive?
What's pay for boarding?
Getting paid for boarding.
Oh, no, we need to talk about that.
So this morning on my flight back from LA, I had a Charlotte-based crew, and I was sitting in the back on the 321, which now you get to learn all those. Are.
Yeah, because you're getting them now.
Yeah, we but are.
The lab is right there, so I had a flight
then
right
there. I'm going to get juniored into that lab jump seat. I just know it.
And she had to work a lot because she had to monitor everyone putting their bags in. It was a full flight. And I just got thinking, I know that I would hate clocking in and not getting paid. So what are some of your thoughts about?
For pay for boarding.
Yeah, because neither of your airlines do that currently, right?
Nope.
Correct. Yeah.
Is it something that if they do, or even if they gave you like a partial pay? I mean, you're not officially.
Nope. It's got to be all. It's got to be all.
Here's my thing. Boarding pay would be great. I want to be paid for those 4-hour sit times in the Las Vegas airport where I can't go to the crew room because it's outside of security.
You can't do the laundry.
I can't do anything.
You can't go shopping. You can't.
I would rather, because if we got ground time pay, there's no way they would have us scheduled those long sit times because they don't want to pay us to do nothing and sit in an airport unless they absolutely have to. So I would rather ground time pay because that would eliminate, I mean, so many times in Denver, a lot of my trip pairings I'd get called for on reserve would be like, I'd go Denver to Portland, sit for 3.5 hours, then do the red eye from Portland to Newark or Portland to Dulles and something like that. And if we had ground time pay, they would not have us do that anymore unless there was no other options.
I think we should be paid for boarding. It's a long, arduous process. And
I mean, and then boarding would obviously, get grandfathered into ground time because it
works. Yes, exactly. And so Delta gets paid for it.
Yes. Okay, it's like 50%, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be. See, it should be 100 because you're also available.
I think it's also timed too. It's only for a certain amount of time.
You're on duty. You're there.
Exactly.
You'd be handling a medical if it was happening during boarding. So I just feel like you should be paid for boarding.
If you get injured during boarding, since we're only getting per diem and it's pretty much no pay. I mean, it's you have to really fight to get workers' comp. It's not just like a normal, easy process like it would be for an in-flight injury. Mm-hmm.
And it should be across the board. It should be industry standard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. That's what watching that flight then today, I was just like, oh, she's not just sitting there.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you get international pay for Hawaii? Because we do.
That's a great question. I feel like we do because it's international service.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think so.
Sorry.
When I load Hawaii, I don't get any different pay. And those bags are heavy.
I believe it.
So Laura's on reserve this month of January. When you hear her complaining about it, do you just laugh inside because you're like, good? Or do you feel bad for her?
No, I feel bad for her.
Thank you.
Because it's...
And it's a pay cut for me because I'll get like 73 hours. So.
Oh, so you have to pick up if you want to...
Yeah, on my days
off. Well, that's when she does the OnlyFans is those months, right?
I'll be bumping up my OnlyFans page then.
If I see you posting links on your Instagram story, I'll just turn the other way. I ain't going to say nothing.
I have an administrator for that.
Oh, there you go. No, because with our airline having straight reserve and like just until you have the seniority to hold a line, it's with Cleveland being such a senior base, especially, it's like I'm every month I'm just waiting for my line to come out and like anxiously refreshing because I'm like, don't be reserved, don't be reserved, don't be reserved. And so with, I don't know, I feel like I would like rotating reserve better than straight reserve just because I at least know it's coming. I'm like, all right, I'm probably going to be on reserve this month. I might get lucky and hold a line, but at least I know to expect reserve that month. Whereas every month, it's just the whole day until they post the lines is just like anxiety.
See, and I have to agree with that, some of that thinking, because it's like, okay, you have to make doctor's appointments.
Exactly.
You have to do those things. And this is your month. You can do that.
Oh, and then there's like a whole lot of flexibility with holding a line too. It's like, at least for us, like on reserve, we can't pick up on our days off until the day before when we're released by scheduling to our days off.
Oh, yeah.
So like if I wanted to pick up a trip, I can't do that. It's super. There's no like reserve open time to trade your off days with. You have to find other reserves. Whereas if I really need a certain day off, I can just trade my trip with a different one in open time. It might be a terrible trip that I'm trading into, but I have the days off that I need.
But you can do it. Okay, that's good.
So I like the flexibility being a line holder.
Even if it's not the best lines.
Right, exactly. Yeah, okay. I mean, I've lucked out so far. I had Kona. I had Panama City recently. My line in October was like my first ever line. And it was, until I traded it out, it was clean, long Miamis. It was literally Cleveland to Newark, Newark, Miami, which that route sucks. But but then it was like 20-hour Miami layovers. So we were in this right on the beach.
Do you guys stay at the Sherry Hotel?
I don't think so. No, I forget.
That's an airline hotel, and they're in Miami Beach, and they only take airline people.
Oh, so really? That's all they do?
Yeah, we used to stay there, and it was so fun. Because it was all airline people.
And when she stayed in New York, she stayed in New York, not in Newark.
I was like a four-minute walk from Times Square.
You're not like me.
The other Penn Station, the real one.
The real one.
What's the story that people, because they find out that you're a flight attendant, they go, they always ask me, oh, tell me a funny story. So
I've never had anybody ask me that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, nothing really like crazy has, I mean, ever my happened. Flights have really been pretty uneventful, pretty like standard for the most part, you know.
Well, think about it for a minute. Think.
Now that you said it though, you'd be right. Something's
going to happen tomorrow. I have three legs tomorrow. Something's going to happen.
Okay. So one time I was working on a 757 and we were going from New York to Phoenix. We didn't have a lot of passengers on board, but we had one in every row. One or two in every row. And I was flying with my girlfriend, Jackie, and she and I were in the back with Mary Dempsey. And we were eating, Jackie and I were eating, and a call button went off. And so Mary said, well, I'll go get it, because we were eating. She was galley gal, so she offered. So she went up, and Jackie and I were eating away, and then she comes running back. She goes, it's vomit. She goes, it's explosive vomit. It's everywhere. You're going to have to help. She goes, it's everywhere. And we're like, what? And she goes, yeah, it's all over this girl. And she like projectile vomited all over everyone four rows ahead of her. I go, no way. I've never seen projectile vomit. So we go running up there, Jackie and I, and there is spots of vomit on every single passenger on the back of their heads, and they're like wiping the back of their heads with napkins and so we're passing out like the wet towels from first class, you know, the OSHA boardies. We're passing those out. We're passing out napkins. We're passing out paper towels, and the smell is just horrific. And other people are starting to go, you know, from the smell. And that poor girl that did it, it was all over her too. And so she was in the lab, and she came out of the lavatory. She had to take all her clothes, and she had them in a market bag, a trash bag.
Yeah.
And she had just a trench coat on, and she was horrified, and I just felt really bad for her, because we've all been sick.
Maybe not to that degree.
No. And she went into the window seat. She just sat there and stuff. But we got everybody cleaned up, and I've never seen vomit on seats like that. It went four rows. So then we're getting ready for the arrival service. Okay, so we get everything cleaned up, and we're trying to spray the spray, you know, the lav spray everywhere. And we're on the cart, and we're doing service, and there's this really nice looking businessman, and he's sitting on the aisle seat, and he's wearing a white sweater over his shirt. And so we get to him, and I'm pouring my drinks. I look over, and the back of his sweater is dotted with orange dots.
Oh my goodness.
Like, this poor guy. And I said, where are you going to? He goes, I'm going to Phoenix. I'm going to a big business meeting. And I'm like, oh yeah. And so when we finished service, I went up to him. I said, can you come talk to me in the back alley for a minute? So he came back, and Jackie and I like kind of washed his sweater out and got that out, because I thought,
good.
He goes, oh my God, I'm supposed to have a meet. Yeah, I'm supposed to go straight to the meeting. And here he would have had like all these orange dots. So gross.
I have like 4 Tide pens in my tote bag that like, great I idea. Just, yeah. That way, I mean, mostly like they're for me, because I'm the amount of times I've spilled coffee on myself, or I spilled red wine on myself one time. Luckily, our uniforms are black, so that helps a lot. But that way I have the Tide pen, and I can be like, oh, okay, I can fix it.
Yeah, well, last night I was just pouring the stain stick all over the cuffs of my shirts.
Yeah.
Red wine, coffee, all that.
From work or from?
From work.
Okay. Just day-to-day activities.
Yeah. That's crazy. We both have mentioned we enjoy your social media. So where can people find you that want to, because you travel a ton and you show all your stuff. So where can people,
it's pretty much mostly just Instagram, but it's just my Chrissy.Galati.
Okay.
And I'll put a link to that in my show notes.
Yeah,
so that you can see it. Yeah.
My last name is not the easiest to spell for some reason.
And you have a cute engine pic now. That's the one.
It was my profile picture. I actually recently just changed it to a picture I took in Times Square, but it's pinned at the top of my profile too.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's been fun enjoying watching your travels and all over. So it's not just London over and over. So.
I try to, even on the short layovers, if one of my crew members wants to go out, I'm like, I'll go with you as long as you'll take pictures of me. Yeah,
that's fair.
I'm like, let me just give me some content.
That's cool. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has been
thanks
fun.
Thanks for bidding us.
Yeah.
So, everyone go check her out. And
if you want to get a hold of us, it's the nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com. Everyone, stay safe. Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 700,000 people from all airlines the world over and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
Do you have a different hotel depending on, like, for us, the magic number is 15. So anything over 15, we go downtown.
Anything 18 or over.
Oh, so 18, downtown, okay. Yeah.
That's why you're in the Hooker
We're
Hotel
in the airport,
here.
Yeah.
The Hooker Hotel here in Phoenix. He told me where you were staying. I was like, oh no.
Well, that's what the next row over is, Van Buren. Isn't that what Van Buren's known for?
Well, yeah, but not right there.
Well, that's why I pointed out that's where the employee lot is, right across the street. And that's
right across the street.
The flight tents have got attacked there, right?
Yeah.
So.
By homeless people, but
that's insane. In Denver, our employee lot, there was a very small handful of cases of people like getting their cars broken into or like
they're attacked.
Nobody's gotten attacked.
Just the arm.
Just the arm of the. That's exactly what I was gonna go into. No, yeah, just that one pilot. It was. And he didn't even get attacked. He was the attacker.
That was such a funny video.
It was so crazy.
Everything.
She has a dirty Snapchat like you, she said.
Do you really?
Not dirty.
I do too.
Oh. Oh, you don't have an OnlyFans?
No. Oh. I should.
But you really want me to tell her I have an OnlyFans? Now she'll...
Is she even a flight attendant then?
Is she even a flight attendant?
Who's that? Who's that one that got fired from Sierra Mist?
Sierra Mist. Even Tyler knows who Sierra Mist is.
I was reading about that because I was like, what is this? Yeah.
Yeah. Some people say that she just got scarf like from Goodwill. And because
no,
if you look
so she
at what she's wearing, she's not wearing our uniform. She's
it's
wearing
Republic.
Oh, so she was regional.
Mm-hmm. And then she's had multiple cease and desist letters from Republic and like from mainland.
I have seen videos of her and she's pulling down a guy's pants. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Of course, I watched it like 8 times just to make sure that was what it was.
Just to make sure you were seeing what you were seeing.
Yeah, and then she goes, Have you always wondered about what pilots and flight attendants do on layovers? Well, yeah, then you can do this. And I'm like, oh, she's got to have an OnlyFans.
Yeah. And yeah. I think she got fired because she was using her uniform in her OnlyFans content.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
What do you think?
I think it's just the flight attendant is just like a gig, like the strippers that are like policemen, right?
That's basically what
she's a flight attendant is her role model thing. So,
yeah, no, you're right.
Because not all flight attendants are your friend's age group. Right?
Correct. Some of them are more my age
group. Yeah. Yes. The cute ones are her age group.
So you said that, not me.
No, you're cute and fun. You're cute and fun, and I love your content. I love following you.
Thanks.
You and I chat a lot.
We do.
We DM a lot. Okay. But it's not the same thing. No, no.
You said it.
Oh, yeah, Laura's in my DMs, guys.
Yeah. Yes, I am.